Good evening. Glad you've chosen to join us for our study, continuing study in Jeremiah. Last week we looked at chapter 1 and learned and saw how Jeremiah was called out even before he was born. God had his hand upon Jeremiah for this assignment. We also know that Jeremiah was very reluctant to accept this assignment. He thought he was too young and some other things that were weighing on his mind. And granted, to be a young guy and having to take on an assignment in such a perilous time would have caused any of us to have pause about accepting what God was calling him to do. And then when we read the opening chapters of Jeremiah, they are just gut-wrenching as the prophet receives the report from God concerning his people. I mean, Jeremiah is a freshly called, reluctant prophet who's been singled out by God to be his mouthpiece to a lost and perverse generation that existed during his day. The culture to which he's called to is filled with idolatry and betrayal and distrust and ridicule and all out turning away from God. Almost immediately, Jeremiah is brokenhearted over his people. He was called the weeping prophet because his heart broke over the plight and condition of his people. His heart ached. Jeremiah was sent to deliver a hard message that required the people to repent and change and alter their lives. He had to deliver a hard message that spoke over the plight and the condition of his people. It required his people to repent and to change and to alter their lives. Now, most of us know, and most of us would respond in the same way. We don't like it when people give us a personal message that requires us to change our behavior. Our children don't like it from parents. We don't like it from our bosses that we work for, if they come and give us a corrective word. Our typical response and attitude would make us say, "Who are you to tell me what to do?" But Jeremiah proclaimed this message, and he did it with a tear in his eye. He truly was broken over what his people were doing and how they were living their lives. Perhaps he didn't realize until God spoke to him and told him, you know, the condition of the people. Perhaps he didn't realize how far away they were from the Lord. And yet now he has this incredible assignment to go and speak the corrective message to them, to go and speak that word to them that they desperately do not want to hear and do not want to respond to. And so the first 7-8 chapters of Jeremiah cover all the indictments of the Lord against the people, their idolatry, their turning away from him. They did exactly what the Lord warned them not to do. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 8, the Lord had instructed Moses to speak to the people, and Moses spoke to them about what was going to happen when they inherited the promised land. He told them that they would have access to things that they had never had access to before, like land and housing. They would be able to eat foods that they had been deprived of. They were going to be having luxuries that they had never seen or heard of before. And yet, they go in after Moses tells them and warns them, "Do not forget the commands of the Lord your God." And yet, that is exactly what they've done. They've made the land of the Lord detestable. They've trashed it. They've abused it. The privilege, the great privilege that the Lord had given them. So tonight I want us to focus on just a little bit of chapter 8 tonight as we skip forward in the book of Jeremiah. Our time constraints won't allow us to look at all 52 chapters individually, so we're going to be hitting the high points over the next 12 weeks. But in chapter 8, we come to a time when, after Jeremiah's heard all the Lord is saying to him, that Jeremiah writes this lament. And this is what he says. In chapter 8, beginning in verse 18, he says, "My joy has flown away. Grief has settled on me. My heart is sick. Listen, the cry of my dear people from a faraway land. Is the Lord no longer in Zion, her king not within her? Why have they angered me with their carved images, with their worthless foreign idols? Harvest is past, summer has ended, but we have not been saved. I am broken by the brokenness of my dear people. I mourn, horror has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? So why has the healing of my dear people not come about? Those words have to tear at our hearts as we hear Jeremiah just bare his soul. My joy has flown away. Grief has settled on me. My heart is sick. What has made Jeremiah feel this way? Well, the thing that made Jeremiah feel this way is the fact that his people were living in sin. Sin, the sin of his people, broke the heart of Jeremiah. Perhaps that's something that is lacking in our culture and society today, even in our churches. We're no longer broken over sin. We're no longer saddened when we see the sinful condition of people. And Jeremiah here is telling us how it hurts as he speaks for God. Why have they angered me with their carved images? Why have they turned to idols? After all that I have done for him, earlier Jeremiah would tell them that and remind them, and the Lord would remind them of all the good times that they had as God delivered them from Egypt and spared them and provided them through the wilderness experience and then led them into the promised land. I am broken over the brokenness of my dear people, Jeremiah says. I'm broken over the brokenness of my dear people. And then he asks three questions there in verse 22. He said, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? So why has the healing of my dear people not come about? This is Jeremiah pointing them to Christ, even though this is hundreds of years before Christ would come down and be born of the Virgin Mary and live here on this earth. This is many years before that. But Jeremiah is asking, is there no balm? Is there not something that can be done? And the answer is yes. But as long as the people are living in their trespasses and sin and are dead in their trespasses and sin, they will never recover from this. They will never be able to experience the balm of Gilead. When you think about it, this was an amazing and an astonishing thing. Here were people who were spiritually and morally ill. They were desperately sick, and the remedy for their healing was provided, yet they remained sick and diseased. How many of us are like that today? When we are physically ill, we go to the doctor and seek every possible remedy, but we are far less concerned about our souls than our bodies. Yet our bodies will only last for a short time, whereas our souls are made for eternity. It may be that some of us need healing. Granted, in this time of pandemic and the virus spreading, we are in search of healing. Many are in search of healing. But perhaps the greater need is not just physical healing. The greater need is a spiritual cure. And the only answer, the only cure, is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can give it. So let me tell you then about the balm. The balm which he gives to sin-sick souls. Think of the people to whom the prophet addressed these three questions. And I want you to notice some things. First of all, the balm was needed. The balm was needed because the people were desperately sick. We only have to read the solemn chapters in Jeremiah's prophecy to discover that the people in question were out of touch with God. They were willing to live without him and in disobedience to him. In other words, they were spiritually ill. And of course, this is true of all of us. A great sickness covers the whole earth today, a sickness that is moral and spiritual. We only have to watch the daily news or pay attention to whatever your news source is to be convinced of this. For all of the terrible things which are happening in the world are the evidence of man's desperately sick condition. The prophet Isaiah gives a terrible picture of human nature without God when he says, the whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises are putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Isaiah says that in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. So we see that what the need that we have, the great need that we have, is for the great physician and the balm of his grace. Because like the people of old, we are spiritually ill. Number two, it was derived from a tree. The balm was derived from the balsam tree, which was a special tree that grew in Gilead. Gilead became well known because of the presence of these trees and because of the healing ointment which came from them. What do we learn from this? Why, surely that healing for us comes from and can only come from a tree, not just any tree, but a special tree, as Peter is careful to tell us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, as Peter refers to our Savior and his death upon the cross, he says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." Here then, Peter refers to the great physician in the words of "he himself," to the sacrifice of Calvary in the words "bore our sins in his body on the tree," and to the healing that is available for all who put their trust in Christ. In the words, "by his wounds, his stripes, we have been healed." There is only one remedy for our sin-sick souls: the cross of Jesus and the salvation which he has provided for us and offers to us. Number three, the balm was fragrant and precious. This balm was known for its fragrance, and it was very precious. After much care, those who set out to extract the resin from the trees could at the most get only 40 to 50 drops a day, so it was precious in the sense that it was rare. This is not to suggest that the salvation and healing that Jesus offers is in short supply. Indeed, there is enough for everybody everywhere, sufficient for all who will come to him and put their trust in him. The Lord Jesus says, "Everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will never cast out." John chapter 6 and verse 37. And that includes all that will come. The invitation of the gospel is to whosoever. In saying that the balm was precious, we are referring to the very costly method by which salvation and healing were procured. For in order to provide spiritual health for us, the Savior had to die upon the cross. And it is to Peter again that we turn and read these words: "For you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life, inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of an unblemished and spotless lamb." 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. We learn that at tremendous cost, the Lord went to the cross and shed his blood to provide the balm we all need. Number four, the balm possessed marvelous curative properties. The balm possessed marvelous curative properties that are told us in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 17. "Indeed, I am about to send snakes among you, poisonous vipers that cannot be charmed. They will bite you." This is the Lord's declaration. We learned that the people were sick because of a deadly venom that had entered their system. This would bring them into a state of fever, and unless some cure could be found, it would prove fatal. It is, of course, the deadly poison that has infected and affected the whole human race. It is from sin and the effects of sin that we have to be delivered and that we need to be delivered. We discovered that this balm, when it was put on a wound, did three things. It cleansed, it soothed, and it healed. It cleansed in that it removed foreign matter from the wound. It extracted the dirt. This is exactly what the Lord does for us when we put our trust in him. 1 John 1, 7 says, "The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin." The balm which Christ offers also soothes. In other words, when the balm is placed upon the infected and inflamed wound, it reduces and removes much of the inflammation. Through the death of Christ upon the cross, we have peace. Peace through the blood of the cross, Colossians 1:20 tells us. There is no soothing for the soul of man anywhere to be compared with this. This balm heals in that it brings about a complete cure. Through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we by faith in him are healed by his stripes. Thus our Lord Jesus comes to us in our sick and suffering and sad condition and offers to apply to us the curative balm of his healing grace, of his precious blood. And when this application is made in the power of the Holy Spirit, we receive cleansing and soothing and healing. The balm number 5 was near at hand. The balm was available. If we studied the geography of this situation, we will see that the people to whom Jeremiah spoke were nearby to Gilead. It's not as though they had to send hundreds of miles to secure this balm. It's not as though they had to order from Amazon for 2-day shipping. It was nearby. And so the Lord Jesus and his salvation. You do not have to go to Gilead to be saved. You do not have to go to London or New York to be healed, to Jerusalem or even to church to receive the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. You can come to Jesus anywhere. He is near at hand. You can come to him now and receive forgiveness and cleansing and healing and assurance. Jesus is here right now. Number 6, the balm was easily applied. The balm of Gilead was easily applied to the situation. A child could apply it. Doctors would prescribe the balm of Gilead and say, go get some and immediately apply it to the wound. Well, as we have said, a child could do that. Truly, it is very easy to come to Jesus and to receive his love and grace and his forgiveness and healing. It's very easy indeed. All you need to do is to look up into his face and surrender your will to him and say from your heart, O Lamb of God, I come. Forgive me of my sin. Thank you for dying for me. And number 7, the balm had to be applied. Although the balm was easily applied, if it did have to actually be applied. To receive the benefits offered, the balm had to be applied to the wound. It's no good leaving the balm in the jar. All this tells us that Jesus must be personally trusted. You see, folks, the cure is available. His name is Jesus. Jesus has done everything that needs to be done to secure your salvation. He's the only one who could pay the price for your salvation. He's the only one who could do that, and he did it for you. When I was growing up, there was a balm, if you will, called Coumarindine. Coumarindine was kind of a cure-all back then. Came in a little brown jar. And if you cut yourself or you burned yourself or had some other type of wound, the remedy, the answer was put some Coumarindine on it. Put some of that salve, that balm on it. And sure enough, when the balm was applied, the cut would heal, the burn would go away. The application of it truly, truly worked. But the only reason it worked is because it was applied. I pray that God is, if he's speaking to your heart today, you will realize that there's no other way to be saved except through Jesus Christ. There's no other opportunity, no other person who can do this for you. Jesus did it for you once and for all. But you do have to receive him. You do have to, by faith, put your trust and surrender your life to him. You see, folks, in these tragic times that we live today, in these challenging times that are before us, there is a cure. For many, while many are physically sick, many more are spiritually sick. Many more need the balm of Gilead, who is Jesus Christ. Again, when I was growing up in church, men would get up and pray in our worship services, and over and over again, I would hear week in and week out, Lord, heal the sick and the sin sick. Lord, heal the sick and the sin sick. Lord, take care of those who have physical ailments and maladies and diseases. But Lord, we pray also for those who are still dead in their trespasses and sin. We ask you for healing. Many years ago, a hymn writer put these words to music. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. If your soul is sin-sick today, I implore you, I plead with you, turn to Jesus. He is the cure. He is the balm in Gilead.